This is tape number T4169.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in the time of trouble, in the time of distress, in the time of fear, in the time of worry, Lord, at any time, we can call upon you for your mercy and for your grace, that you will help us, Lord, in that time of need, that time of distress. Lord, we pray that today, as we again turn to your word to find guidance and direction for our lives, that our hearts will be open, and that you will speak to us, Lord, through the word and by your Holy Spirit. Bless, we pray, now the time that we spend together in the Word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. John, of course, tonight will be taking us from Psalm 56. He guaranteed 5 chapters. So that's tonight at 7 o'clock. As we continue our journey through the Bible. This morning we'd like to look at verse 10 of Psalm 57 here, where David said, "For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds." While I was on my last leg of the trip home from Russia, I was flying from Atlanta, Georgia to LAX, and I sat by a businessman, and the Lord opened the door for us to have a great conversation. And we spent the whole time coming across the country talking about the Bible and about the things of God with this man. His heart was very open, very receptive. We had a wonderful time sharing together. But as he talked, he sort of mentioned the fact that he felt that the God of the Old Testament was rather harsh, rather cruel, and really contrasted with the God of the New Testament that seemed to be so loving and so gracious. And so I was pointing out to him how that in reality the God of the Old Testament was a very loving, merciful, kind, and gracious God, compassionate. And that the God of the New Testament was all of those things, but he was also a God of justice. He was a God of truth. He was a God of judgment. And that the judgment of God and the wrath of God is going to be coming upon the earth in which we live. So that the same God, it isn't really two gods that are revealed in the Bible, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New, but they are one and the same. And that the God of the Old Testament, yes, he is a God of judgment and wrath upon those that turn from him, but also a God of mercy and grace, loving and compassionate to those that will call upon him. Just as in the New Testament, a God of love and compassion and mercy, but also a God of judgment upon those that rebel against him. So, here David, in the 57th Psalm, speaks of that characteristic of God which is so wonderful and precious to us, and that is the mercy of God. Now, there's a difference between mercy and justice. The law says I should not do a certain thing. I do it. The law has prescribed that there is a penalty for doing that. Perhaps a fine is to be assessed for excessive speed. I've been apprehended for excessive speed, and I have to pay the fine. That's justice. Justice declares this is the fine for that particular infraction of the law. Mercy is not getting what I receive. The law says that you're not to exceed a certain speed limit within a particular zone. I exceeded that speed limit. I'm brought before the judge. And the judge says, "Do you have anything to say?" And I say, "Yes, Your Honor. I was called on an emergency to go to the hospital where one of our members was in a terminal condition. And I am sorry, but I was exceeding the speed limit." And the judge says, "Well, I understand that, and I will not assess a fine against you." That's mercy. The difference between justice and mercy is justice is getting what I deserve. Mercy is not getting what I deserve. The God of the Old Testament, for those that will call upon Him, is a merciful God. There are certain laws that have certain punishments attached to them. And in violating those laws, justice says that I should pay the penalty for my violation. But I call upon God. I ask God to be merciful unto me. And I am freed from the judgment of God as He extends to me His mercy. As we read in our text, verse 10, David tells us that the mercies of God are great unto the heavens. In another place, David said that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. It seems like with our advanced technology, we are able to probe further and further into our universe. Hubble telescope and others have allowed us the opportunity of seeing even far greater distances of our universe. And it seems like we're constantly revising upward the size of the universe. When I was in school, studying science, they told us that the universe was 4 billion light years in radius. Now with the new telescopes and all, they say it's somewhere between 15 billion to 18 billion light years in radius. Someone said, "Aren't you sort of upset or disturbed by the fact that they're discovering, you know, more and more how vast the universe is?" No. That doesn't bother me at all. It thrills me. Because as high as the heavens are above the earth, it just means that God's mercy is much greater than what I thought it was when I was in high school. And so I enjoy the fact that they are discovering how vast the universe is, because God's mercy is as vast, even vaster than our universe. From the beginning of the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, we find the subject of God's mercy introduced. The city of Sodom was filled with sin, and the justice of God demanded judgment upon the city of Sodom. And the angels of the Lord came to bring the judgment upon this city. But they delivered Lot, that righteous man, from the city of Sodom before the judgment of God came. And the scriptures declared, the Lord being merciful unto Lot, the angels brought him forth and set him outside the city. Before the destruction came, God being merciful, the angels took Lot out before judgment. That's mercy. Lot, in responding to the angels, said, "Behold, now your servant has found grace in your sight, and you have magnified your mercy in saving my life." So, not experiencing the judgment of God that came upon the city of Sodom, Lot speaks of the mercies of God. When God revealed himself to Moses, the Lord, it says, passed by him and proclaimed, Jehovah, Jehovah God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving the iniquity and transgression and sin. God is there describing his characters, the characteristics of his nature, how that he is merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and in truth, keeping mercy for thousands. When David was faced with his sin in the affair with Bathsheba, he prayed that God would have mercy upon him. According to the multitude, he said, of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Calling upon God for mercy, casting himself upon the mercy of God. David didn't pray justice, God, but he prayed mercy, God. Jeremiah, when he was lamenting over the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonian army, he said, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not totally consumed because his compassions, they fail not. The way we had forsaken God, the way we had turned our backs upon God, we deserve to be totally obliterated. And it is God's mercies that we were not totally wiped out. 41 times in the scriptures, we are told that God's mercies endure forever. Now, if God would just say it once, it would be thrilling. But he tells us 41 times his mercy endureth forever. Hezekiah sent a message to the people when they were threatened by the Assyrian invasion. And Hezekiah said to them, don't be like your fathers and your brothers, which trespassed against the Lord, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you can see. Don't be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, and the fierceness of his wrath may turn from you. For if you turn again to the Lord, your brothers and your children will find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful. He'll not turn his face from you if you will return unto him. Cast yourself upon God's mercy. God will be merciful, gracious to you. Nehemiah declared, thou art a God who is ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. Now notice, these are all Old Testament descriptions of God. Merciful, compassionate, kind, gracious, slow to anger, ready to pardon, abundant in goodness, and forgiving. This is the God of the Old Testament. This is the God that David knew. This is the God that David called upon for that mercy when he had sinned. And when he knew that he deserved the judgment of God, yet he cast himself upon God's mercy. Now we are told that this particular psalm was composed by David when he had hidden in the cave as he was fleeing from Saul. We read the story in 1 Samuel how that David was in the area of En-Gedi, hiding from Saul. But it was reported to Saul that David was there at En-Gedi. And so Saul came with 3,000 of his choice elite troops to find David and to kill David. And David and his men were hiding in a cave. And as they were there hiding in the cave, to their amazement, Saul came into the cave to get out of the sun and to take a nap. And they were sort of positioned back in the darkness of the cave, and they could see Saul there in the light of the entrance of the cave. And as Saul went into a deep sleep, David's men said, "Look, David, how God has delivered Saul into your hands. Let's kill him." David said, "No, he's been anointed by God. We won't take his life." But David took his sword and he cut off Saul's skirt. When Saul awoke from his sleep and went on out and got a safe distance away, David came out of the cave and he called unto Saul. And he said, "Saul, the men who have told you that I'm out to kill you are lying to you. I had opportunity to kill you if I wanted to when you were sleeping there in the cave. Here, look, I've got your skirt. And those men have been lying. I'm not out to kill you, Saul." And Saul gave sort of a reprieve to David for a short period of time and did not pursue him for a while. But David then sat down and he penned this particular psalm, where he begins by asking God for mercy. "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee." David's life had been in great jeopardy, and he is calling upon God for that mercy, pleading for mercy. He declares, "In the shadow of your wings I will find my refuge until these calamities are over." Casting himself upon the mercies of God, trusting his life in God's hands, and declaring that God will be his place of safety and refuge until the calamities are over. David is a great model for any of you today who are going through difficult places in your life, going through hardships because people have maybe turned against you. And in this time of difficulty, David cast himself upon the Lord, and a great model for us to cast ourselves upon the Lord, to put our trust in the Lord, to find him our place of refuge and strength from our enemies. David told Jonathan that he was just one step away from death. His life was in imminent danger. One misstep, and it's all over for David. And thus he seeks the mercies of God as he puts his trust in the Lord. He said, "I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." And really, that's always the safest place for us to be. There in our refuge in God. Now, it's interesting, whenever I am calling upon God for myself, it's always mercy. It's never justice, Lord. That's when I'm calling upon God for those that have done me wrong. Then it's justice, God. Give them what they deserve, you know. Take care of them, Lord. But for me, when I call, it's always mercy. Lord, be merciful unto me. In reality, because I have received mercy, I should be merciful. And certainly that is what the Scripture teaches us. Jesus taught a parable of an unjust steward. He said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who took an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which had owed him $10 million. And when he was unable to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, that payment might be made. And the servant fell down and he worshiped him. And he said, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and he freed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him $15. He laid his hands on him. He took him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you the debt. And he would not, but he had him cast into the debtor's prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told their Lord all that was done. And his Lord, after that he had called him in, said unto him, oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me to do so. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And the Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And so likewise, Jesus said, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your hearts you forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Jesus is saying the Lord was merciful to the one sinner who owed him so much. And yet he was not willing to show mercy to a fellow servant that owed so little. And how important it is for us, having received mercy from God, to be merciful unto others. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I used to write that at the top of every test for the professor's sake. David said in 2 Samuel, with the merciful, or you will show yourself merciful, and with the upright man you will show yourself upright. Today, if you have sinned against the Lord, the greatest advice that I can give to you is to cast yourself upon the mercies of God. Just pray, God, be merciful. And God is compassionate. God is kind. God is merciful. And God will have mercy upon you. Isaiah 55:7 tells us, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, because he will abundantly pardon. And to you who are holding aught against a brother, you who say, I cannot forget and I will not forgive what they have done to me, I would suggest to you that you ask God to help you to get rid of that kind of attitude, because you're receiving mercy. is really dependent upon your being merciful. And may God give you that grace and ability to be merciful to those who have offended you, those who have wronged you, because you have been forgiven the wrongs that you have done against the Lord. And so, David, again, in trouble. Life in jeopardy. But he cast himself upon the mercies of God. He puts his trust in the Lord. He said, God, you are my refuge, my place of strength and defense. Be merciful. And he obtained mercy from God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God of compassion, that you are a gracious God, and that you are a merciful God. And Lord, we have all of us sinned. We've all of us come short of your glory. We are all of us, Lord, in need of your mercy this day. And so help us, Lord, that we might cast ourselves upon your mercy, that you might abundantly pardon us our guilt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Jesus tells an interesting story of two men who were in the temple praying. One was a Pharisee, and his prayer was a very self-righteous prayer. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an adulterer. I pay tithes and telling the Lord how good he was, and I thank you I'm not like that sinner over there. But Jesus said that that sinner over there would not so much as lift his head toward heaven, but with head bowed, beating upon his chest, he said, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I say unto you, he went away justified, forgiven, because he cast himself upon the mercy of God. The other fellow who tried to tell God how good he was did not go away justified, condemned even in his own good works. So important to cast ourselves on God's mercy. Today, if you're a sinner and you acknowledge, I have not done as I should, I have done evil against the Lord, but you would like to receive forgiveness today, if you'd like to have that abundant pardon from God, I would encourage you, just as soon as we're dismissed, come on forward. The pastors are down here at the front to pray for you, that you this day might experience God's mercies, God's grace, God's love, and God's forgiveness for you. Just put your trust in God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and you can go away from this place today justified. If you find that you hold enmity in your heart towards another person who has wronged you, and yes, you probably have every right in the world to feel the way you do, but you need to forgive. And for that, you need the help of the Lord, because it isn't in you. You see, our nature is revenge. I want to get even. And that's our human nature. And to forgive, I need God's help. But I need to forgive. I need to show mercy. And God is able to help you today. And I would encourage you to come on forward and just confess the feelings that you have that are really hindering you from the full work of blessing that God wants to do in your life. Bitterness just chokes out God's blessings upon our lives. You can't afford to hold to it, but surrender it to God and ask God to help you. And I'll guarantee God will help you. And God can give you compassion and mercy toward that person who has wronged you. And so again, I would encourage you, just come on forward and let's get the book squared with God today. Let's go away from this place today just in perfect fellowship with God, because He has ministered to me His forgiveness, His compassion, His mercy. And so I go from here forgiving, compassionate, and merciful. Let's pray. Father, even as David, in that time when his heart was overwhelmed, cried out to you for help. Lord, so often we find ourselves in that same condition. Hearts overwhelmed because of circumstances in our lives, problems that we don't understand. Lord, we thank you that we can cry out to you, and that you will hear, and that you will answer, and that you will help us, Lord, in those times of distress. Lead us, Lord, to that rock this morning. Draw us unto Jesus Christ, that we might find in Him our source of help and strength. In His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, John is going to give us commentary on Psalm 61. And he told me he's going to do 5, but we won't hold him to that. But we'll read 5 just in case. So we'll read 61 through 66 as we journey through the Bible. And we'll just let the Spirit lead John just how far he takes us this evening. So we will start with 61, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But they are great psalms. You'll enjoy them. You'll be blessed as you read them and study them this afternoon in preparation for coming tonight and hearing and being strengthened by the Word of God. This morning I'd like to draw your attention to this 61st psalm, the first 3 verses, where David prayed, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." In this psalm we find tremendous lessons concerning prayer. When our hearts are overwhelmed, it's a good time to pray. It's generally thought that David wrote this particular psalm when he had fled from Jerusalem, when he received news that Absalom, his son, was leaving Hebron with an army, coming to Jerusalem in order to take over the kingdom from his father David. Absalom had used subtlety in drawing the hearts of the people away from his father and to himself. And when he felt that he had sufficient support, he called the people of Israel to his side, declaring that Absalom reigned in Hebron, and he was now moving with an army to Jerusalem. David, rather than having a bloodbath in Jerusalem, decided to just flee from the city with those that were faithful to him. And as he went through the Kidron over the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, his heart was overwhelmed. His son Absalom, the son that he had loved so deeply, has revolted against him, is in full rebellion. He not only wants to take the kingdom from David, he wants to take the life of David. And even so, David still loves him deeply. We do read that as David instructed his generals, as they were going out to fight against Absalom and the army that he had gathered, he said to Joab, "Now deal gently with the young lad." His heart was still bound, and he loved his son, though he was in rebellion. We do read also that when word came to David that Absalom was slain in the battle, that David went up to the room above the gate. As he was going up, he was crying and weeping aloud, saying, "O Absalom, my son Absalom, would have, to God I would have died instead of thee. O Absalom, my son." He was overwhelmed because his son was dead. "When my heart is overwhelmed," David said, "lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Overwhelmed because his son was in rebellion against him. "Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Many times we find our hearts overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. It's quite possible that some of you are here today because your heart has become overwhelmed with the things that you are facing. And it's sort of driven you to church today to perhaps hopefully find an answer to the problems that you are facing. It's quite possible that you're overwhelmed by your financial circumstances, debts that you cannot pay, obligations that you cannot meet. Oftentimes our hearts are overwhelmed with the financial responsibilities that we have. Maybe you're overwhelmed today because of marital problems. There doesn't seem to be any possibility of reconciliation. You've done all that you know to do, but the heart is a heart of stone toward you right now. You don't want to see the family broken up, and yet there seems nothing that you can do. And your heart is overwhelmed because of the marital problems. Some of you today, like David, are overwhelmed because of the loss of a loved one. You wonder, how are you going to get along in the future without them? They have been a constant support. They have been a constant encouragement. And with their loss, you just feel that sense of overwhelmed. What will I do? How will I handle the situation? These times when we feel overwhelmed are great incentives for prayer. When my heart is overwhelmed, David cried and prayed to the Lord, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." David prayed, in fact, he says he cried unto the Lord. The word cry speaks of an earnestness and a desperation in prayer. The Bible tells us that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think that one of our problems is that oftentimes our prayers are sort of half-hearted prayers. Now, we do know that God promises to answer when we call to Him with our whole heart, when we cry out unto the Lord because of the desperation, and our prayers are really desperate prayers. They're the ones that seem to bring a response from the heart of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God had warned the people that if they did not obey His commandments, His judgments, that they would ultimately be taken as captives into enemies' lands. They would be driven from the place where God had placed them in this land. David is driven from the throne. And perhaps he's thinking of that declaration of God in Deuteronomy, where God said, "It shall come to pass, when all of these things have come upon you, the blessings and the curse, which I've declared to you, and you remember them when you are captives among the nations where the Lord thy God has driven you, and you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will deliver you from your captivity. He'll have compassion upon you. He will gather you from all of the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. And if any of you have been driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from there will the Lord your God gather you." Note, God said, when you turn to me with all of your heart and soul. In Jeremiah 29:13, the promise is repeated. God said, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart." In Psalm 119, David said, "I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to your word." Again in Psalm 119, David said, "I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord." I do believe that we are living in very desperate days. When we look at the social, moral conditions of the world in which we live, these are desperate times. Looking at the conditions of the world in which we live, surely these are desperate days. But the big problem is that we're not really desperate before the Lord in prayer. We have a tendency to say, "Oh Lord, heal the problems of the world," you know. And we're not really crying out to God. Actually, the conditions of the world today are overwhelming. When I think of what's happening in our world, my heart is overwhelmed. And surely that should be the incentive for me to cry unto the Lord with my whole heart. David said, "From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee." He had fled from Jerusalem. He was now in the wilderness, an outcast, far from the tabernacle, far from the place where he gathered to worship God. He felt like he was in the uttermost parts of the earth. "From the ends of the world will I cry unto thee." It's comforting to know that I can't go anywhere in this universe where I can't find God. That no matter how far I may feel from the Lord, how far I may have strayed from the Lord, even in those uttermost parts of the earth, God is close by. There were the gods in those days of localities. Each city, more or less, had its own god. And when a person would leave a city, they felt that they were going away from their god. But you can't really go away from the true and the living God. As David said in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I descend into hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I flee to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand shall hold me. God is never out of earshot from your cry. Many years ago, when I was just a very small boy, there was an evangelist by the name of Gypsy Smith. And here, 70 years later, I can still remember partially the lyrics of one of the songs that he wrote and used to sing. It went, though you are a million miles from the gates of peace, you're just one little step from God. And people have run from God. People have tried to hide from God. People have spent their lives running from God, but no matter how fast you have run, how far you have gone, you're only one little step away. And that's just to turn around and you'll find He's right there waiting for you. You're just one little step from God. We're told in the Scriptures that if we would draw near to God, He would draw near to us. Paul the Apostle, in speaking of how close you are to salvation, said, don't say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from heaven. Or, who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what do the Scriptures say? The Word is near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. For if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Don't think that God is far away. Some far off place in the universe, who's going to go up and bring him down? Don't think that Jesus is still in the grave, who's going to go into the realm of the dead to bring him back to life. He's close to you. He's as close as your mouth. Help is as close as your mouth. If you will just call upon the Lord, if you'll just believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you can be saved. From the ends of the earth, David said, I will cry unto thee. And you might feel like you're sort of at the end of your earth, but you can cry to the Lord and you'll find that He is there. David prayed, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When the difficulties that I am facing are too much for me, when the sorrow that I feel is greater than I can handle, when the mountains that I face are higher than I can scale, when the rivers are wider than I can cross, O Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It's interesting how that the Scriptures often liken the Lord to a rock. David said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. I will trust in God of my rock, for He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. He saved me from violence. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is a rock beside our God? So then that rock that David was asking that the Lord would lead him to was none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. How do you feel when the situations that you are facing are beyond your capacity to cope with? What do you do when you come to that place that is just, as far as you're concerned, the end? I don't have the strength, I don't have the power, I don't have the wisdom or the resources to deal any longer. This point of desperation where you have to reach out, you're forced to reach out. You're beyond your capacities or abilities. You've got to reach out for help. Where do you reach? Tragically, many times people at this point reach for the bottle. Reach for the drugs. Try to just get it out of my mind. Try to ease my mind from the torment of the fear of the things that I'm facing. Even worse, sometimes people reach for the 45 and put it to their skull and figure, I'm going to escape these problems. Where do you reach when your heart is overwhelmed? Where do you turn when your heart is overwhelmed? David's heart was overwhelmed. Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. As we sang this morning the opening hymn, O safe to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its sorrow and conflict would fly. So weary, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict when pressed by the foe, have I fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when sorrows like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul. We find that David also speaks here of his confidence in prayer. For Lord, you have been a shelter for me. I have found in you a place of safety. You have been a high tower from my enemies. Throughout David's life, the Lord had protected him so many times. The Lord had sustained him when facing dangers. David said to his friend Jonathan that I'm just one step away from death. And that was so true of David. He was facing so many perils. Satan wanted to get rid of David, and David so often was just one step away from death. And yet, here he was, again pursued, again driven from Jerusalem, and yet crying unto the Lord, my heart is overwhelmed. Lord, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. God had been a strong tower, David said, from mine enemies. Solomon said, the name Jehovah is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. And how many times I've found that place of safety in the name of Jesus. When my heart is overwhelmed, such comfort to just even say the name Jesus. It brings comfort. It brings strength. It brings hope to my soul. And how often He has delivered me. And so my confidence in prayer comes from the fact that the Lord has sustained me to this hour. Here I am standing before you today because God has sustained me and helped me and brought me to this hour. If it were not for the Lord, we would have been swallowed up long ago. But oh, how we thank God for that rock that is higher than we are. That rock upon which I stand. We sing, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. In Psalm 27, David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my wicked enemies and foes came upon me to destroy me, they stumbled and fell. And though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. For one thing I've desired of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He will hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me, and He shall set me up upon a rock. That rock that was higher than David. Again in Psalm 124, David said, if it had not been that the Lord was on our side when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up quickly. When their wrath was kindled against us, the waters would have overwhelmed us. The streams would have gone over our soul. But blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey into their hands. Because God had been a shelter, a help, because God had sustained David through so many negative experiences in life. Now when once again he's faced with the perils of having to flee Jerusalem and his enemy, now his own son whom he loved, heart overwhelmed, he cries to God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And today I would encourage you, if because of the circumstances of life you find this morning your heart is overwhelmed, I would suggest that you pray, O Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Father, we thank you that you are there to help us the moment we turn to you. The moment that we cry out, Lord, you are there. And Lord, we do pray today for those that are going through a difficult time right now in their lives. Those whose hearts are overwhelmed because of the circumstances that they are facing this day. Lord, as they even this day cry unto you, may they find the strength, may they find the help from Jesus Christ, our rock, our hope, the rock that is higher than any of the difficulties that we could possibly face. And may we find, Lord, this day help, comfort, solace in that rock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to minister to you and to pray for you, especially those of you who today are facing situations that you feel that you just can't cope with. You don't know what to do. You need help. The Lord is a very present help in our time of need. If you'll just cry to Him with your whole heart, you'll find that He is there waiting and wanting to help you. And so as soon as we're dismissed, rather than just heading for the exits, We would encourage you to come on down to the front. These men are here to minister to you today and to pray for you, that you might find this day strength and help from the rock that is higher than the problem that you're facing. May the Lord be with you, bless, comfort, keep you in His strength and in His love as you walk in fellowship with Him this week. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.
This is the end of Side 2 and the end of this message. If you would like further information on tapes or our free catalog, contact The Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.